Sit yourself down there now, people, and we'll take a look. Catherine Cleary and Mia Gallagher here at the moment. How are you? You all right? Mia, how are you? Are you all right? Very good indeed. Okay, now, I just want to say it is. They're sitting here in front of me because last week one of the British tabloids went to town on the fact that the Duchess of Cambridge, you might know her better as Kate Middleton, she had a few grey hairs on show during a visit to a children's charity. And considering the 33-year-old is 7 months pregnant, has a toddler to deal with as well, a few sort of stray greys, hardly going to bring the monarchy tumbling down. But the papers felt that this was worth commenting on, and it's not the first time, by the way, she's at her grey roots show. It seems it also happened during her first pregnancy, or so I'm told. But why is it such a big deal for younger women to show that they have grey hair? There's plenty of 30-something and 40-something men that sport the salt and pepper look without comment, but for women it's a real no-no, or it seems to be anyway. And what happens basically if a younger woman decides to stick to her natural colour and choose to go grey? Two younger women in front of me here who've decided to choose to go grey, not so much go grey, stay grey, or let it happen grey. Catherine Cleary from the Irish Times, and author and actor Mia Gallagher. Now, or Mia, I should say. Sorry, Mia. I'm going to ask both of you this. Were you surprised by the furore surrounding Kate Middleton's greys, or have Kate Middleton picked up a flake and started eating it? There'll be flakes all over. Like, everything she does is always there.
Depressed, I think, rather than surprised. It reminded me of Princess Diana. Do you remember she was photographed coming out of a gym and somebody spotted that she had cellulite? Now, I remember listening to the photographer who took that picture tell the story. He didn't notice it. He brought it home. His wife or girlfriend at the time said, oh, she's got cellulite, and he made a fortune out of this photograph. So it reminds me of that kind of appalling sort of...
That was all back to the Piers Morgan sort of era.
That kind of, oh, really? Does it really, really take from who the person is? You know, that kind of thing that women just have to look, flawless all the time, especially women in the public eye. It's just, it's cruel.
You're not making
depressing.
A point there at all that it was the fact that it was the woman that noticed that and not the man.
Well, yes, I think women are harder on that. I think we are harder on ourselves than most men are. I've actually gone back to blonde, and my husband said when I arrived in with my, ta-da, I'm kind of blonde again, he said, it's not that much different. I don't think men really notice those things.
I just ask you, but am I looking at two? That's not necessarily totally grey to me. Is that grey?
This is now blonde again.
Actually, the disco lights in here. Put a different thing on it altogether. Okay, well, in fact, I'll stay with you then, Catherine, for the moment, because, let's talk about, the experience of going grey or whatever. You're not grey right now, as you say, but you were for a number of years, then decided to go back to dyeing your hair.
Yeah.
Why didn't you stick with being grey?
I was saying in an email to your researcher, it was January 12 months ago, and everything was grey, and I was grey.
And the weather was grey.
And the weather was grey, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to give blonde another go. And I look forward to going back to being grey at some stage. That's the great thing about this. It's not a rule book that you have to stick to. I was 4 years without putting any dye in my hair, and let my hair do what it was going to do since I was a teenager, which was be a bit grey. And then I decided, okay, I'm gonna go back. I don't think it was any pressure. I think it was more just, I'm kind of bored with it now, as people do, as people feel about that kind of thing. And it's funny, the piece I wrote in 2010 about going grey, I've been a journalist for nearly 20 years and I've never had a reaction to a piece like I've had to that. It was extraordinary. People...
I thought you were going to say being a journalist made you go grey.
It started happening long before that, but...
What am I talking about?
Just people saying,
females, mainly
saying, yes, I'm looking at their mother's generation and saying, my mother had beautiful grey hair, and there's a kind of professional pressure as well. If you're in the workplace, and if you're an older woman in the workplace, the last thing you want to be is grey, whereas it's the complete reverse for men. You know, the greyness adds authority and gravitas and all of those things that men have in the workplace.
So I've said Mia and Mia a few times.
Mia Farrow.
As an actor, you're probably asked possibly to change anything at any time, at any given time.
Yeah, and I mean, the reasons, I've been grey for all of my adult life, really, since I was 11, I started going grey. So for me, going grey wasn't about getting old, it was about maturing, and it was about kind of entering my teenage years. So I have a very different set of associations than somebody who's, say, 30 and starting to go grey. But the reason why I would have, I'd have messed around a bit in my 20s, just for the kind of heck of it, like to
Yeah.
I went to kind of really put henna in, so which was fantastic while it was like it was really kind of orangey red, and then there was like the kind of badger stripe started appearing in the roots. So I was grey for most of my 20s, and then when I started working professionally as an actor again, that was really when I changed my hair colour for a role, because it was supposed to be somebody with dark hair, and then I thought it was going to be like a washout thing, but it didn't. And then it was a kind of nasty beige colour, and I thought, oh God, you know. And I was starting to go for auditions, and actors really are judged on their appearance, and I suppose having to convey something coherent in the way that you come across visually. So that was when I went blonde. So I was peroxide blonde for a few years, which was fun. And you know, all sorts of blonde jokes and blah blah, and then the last time I put colour in my hair was because it was for a role, and that was 2009, I think. Yeah. So I mean, I think it is a choice. As Catherine says, it's a choice to, but I think a lot of women feel that it isn't a choice and that they have to put colour in their hair. And that's the issue. And that's around not just hair colour, but it's around all sorts of things to do with women's appearance, you know.
Yeah.
Presenting with makeup or not with makeup. You know, often, like, I think little girls are conditioned to feel that being liked or being judged for their appearance, being valued for their appearance, is the only option, as opposed to a whole load of other things, like, you know, how many little girls are told, oh, you're so pretty, whereas why aren't they told, oh, you're so strong, or oh, you're so funny, or oh, you're so smart? You know, it's like the first judgment that we make on little girls is their appearance.
Okay, but hold on a second. Like, what Catherine was saying earlier on, is it the same with you in some way? Is there a mother factor in this here?
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If your mother was A, then why can't you be A?
Yeah, well, my mother she's a writer, and she acted as well, and she's the most striking head of silver hair. And ever since, and that was in my living memory, that's Miriam with her silver hair. So, and she always got very positive feedback. Like, I heard about another relative of mine who had been going to go grey at a much later age, and somebody said to her, that looks horrible. And she's going, no, but people tell me it looks horrible. So if you're told, first of all, if you're judged mainly on your appearance, as women are, and then if that's reinforced with oh, that looks great, or oh, that doesn't look great, the choice kind of gets made for you. It's all in the conditioning, you know. It's all in the way that we're...
It's all in the conditioner.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you don't need when you have grey hair. You don't need conditioner.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you what, I want you to stick on your headphones there, will you? Because I've got Stephen Kelly on the line as well. I just want to go to all three, and I'll come back to you then in a second, Catherine. Because one person who knows a good deal about women's grey hairs is Stephen Kelly here, because Stephen, you're a Ziba hairdressing on South William Street in Dublin.
Hello, good morning, happy Saturday to you. I'm listening to the little debate in the background there. God, it's very controversial.
Well, hold on, Stephen, would you wait a second? It's not necessarily a debate, but if these people, if the whole world was like the two people in front of me here and didn't really give a damn and didn't need your services and whatever it happened to be, would you be really kind of distraught and would have put you out of a gig?
Well, let's call a spade a shovel here. At the end of the day, if we're not selling colour to our clients, we're not doing our job, you know? you know what it is? I put it up on Facebook myself this morning, and the amount of response I got to it, and there's a huge divide. There's a lot of, I suppose, older ladies kind of who wear it as a badge, a statement. It's like, yes, I have grey hair, and yes, I love it, but it's kind of backed up with really cool haircuts, and we've got great toners and stuff to put into it now to make it look a bit more steely, or a bit kind of, there's great glossing services to make it look shiny and that. But and there's a lot of younger women that are starting to go grey in their kind of 20s and 30s, but we're selling colour to them, but it's more to enhance their haircuts and more as a fashion thing rather than to actually to cover the grey hair. Because with the right placement of colour, you won't even see the grey hair, you know?
Okay, well, hold on a second, Stephen. Let's just talk about the tyranny of the tint here with you, Catherine, we'll call it that, which a lot of people think is a small price to pay for feeling good about yourself. So you dyed your hair for years. Did you do it yourself? Did you go to somebody like Stephen? And did you experiment with colour? Did you stick to the colour?
I did everything. I did I did the bottles, you know, as a teenager. Then I went to the henna cowpat stuff, you know, which just green tide marks. Then I had... I suppose when I was started working, I had enough money to go to the hairdressers and ask them to do it. So I was various shades of mahogany and ebony and all kinds of browns in between.
You know what? As a bloke, I've done it myself. I did the whole blue-black thing back in the 80s, but that was just the thing to do, you know?
And then some hairdressers said to me, I was probably only in my 20s, oh, you know, blonde would be less ageing. When I think of it now, I think, God, okay. So I went blonde. So yeah, I did the whole rainbow spectrum. And it's funny, I had started to let my hair grow out during my pregnancies, and I was able to see what it looked like. And I was kind of curious. I mean, letting myself go entirely grey was kind of a curiosity thing as well. It was just to say, what do I really look like without any of this stuff? And actually, when it grew out, I thought it looked fine. You know,
okay,
and
by
I didn't
the way,
really care.
Yeah, okay, by the way, at Dave Fanning Show on 51552 is our text. And we are talking, I think you know now, about just leaving it or not leaving it. Just as a matter of interest, the people who would have been talking to you, like the friends and etc., what did they all, like, were the comments bad?
I have very nice friends, so no, nobody said, I hate your hair. But it's funny, a woman who I kind of know wouldn't be a friend, but I know her as an acquaintance, sort of said to me after I went back to being blonde, said, you know, grey hair doesn't suit anybody. So, and a lot of people said, your hair looks so great when I went back to dyeing it. So, you know, that might have been a kind of, we're so glad you're not doing the grey hair.
And Mia, did you, like, at what stage, sorry, when you noticed something at 11, which I would have thought was very, very young, but I'm no expert in this, so did you dye your hair when you were younger? Did you just,
no, but my hair was light brown, so it basically progressed really gradually. And I think that, again, what with my mum being a fantastic role model, and it was the gradual, it wasn't like it happened overnight, like Anna in Frozen. She didn't suddenly get a white streak. So it looked kind of, it went from being light brown to being kind of fairish. And then people would say to me, oh my God, that's such an amazing colour in your hair. What did you put in it? And I'm like, actually, it's going grey. So it didn't look grey. Like, it looked sort of blondy, fair. I mean, I have light. I'm not a dark brunette, so it doesn't, it's not steely. It's kind of, and sometimes I remember after the article that Catherine wrote, and she interviewed me first, and this woman came up to me in Fallon and Byrne and just pointed at me with, you know, accusation in her eyes and went, you're blonde. And it was like, I had committed.
What?
Well, I suppose I thought about it afterwards, because you know, some friends of mine were very sort of, I don't know what the word is, but I mean, I suppose they felt that there was a bit of smugness coming from, you know, myself and other people who'd been interviewed, and that
I can pull this off.
I can pull this off, and am I great? And I do think it's like it was relatively easy for me on lots of different levels. So I wouldn't be there going, oh yeah, everybody. And also because it happened so early, like I say, it wasn't a symbol of aging for me. But I think that's the big taboo, is you know, women aren't allowed age in this society.
Picking up on that, I really do feel sorry for a lot of the younger girls coming through. There's a huge amount of peer pressure there to look a certain way and to be a certain way. And when you look at their role models, it's looking at like the Kardashians and stuff, and they're kind of brainwashed by this whole thing. But I don't know, it's out there.
Well, hold on a second, for the whole lot of you then. I mean, like, grey-haired men, they look distinguished.
But they look hot.
Okay, grey-haired women look
dishy.
Old. Discuss.
Yeah. Grey-haired men are dishy, grey-haired women are dishwater. I mean, that's where I was aligned to my piece. The most beautiful man on the planet is George Clooney. He is grey hair. You know, he has grey hair.
I thought it was Dave Fanning. I didn't think it was
I get confused with George Clooney all the time.
Roger from Mad Man, who is like the archetypal silver fox, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't see, I mean, look, Judi Dench carries it off beautifully.
Gorgeous,
but if you look at all of these people, even the guys, they all have really cool haircuts to back it up. So there's a combination of both, I think.
Okay, but hold on a second. Conditioning is what you might have called it earlier on, and pardon for the, sorry for the pun earlier. But I mean, basically, is there a question though that, like, you know, people want to look and feel more attractive, and they think if they do this, they do look and feel more attractive, and who are you to stop them?
I think it's tied up with identity. I think people have an image of themselves which is usually to do with that age where they felt most attractive, and that's usually in your teens, you know, like when you're over the neuroses.
Not in mine, actually.
But you know, those are, could be early 20s, or there's a certain age where you go, oh yeah, you know, things were really zinging for me then. And I think it's like as I say, for me, my identity was as a grey-haired person from a very young age. Through those years where I felt terrible about myself as a teenager, through those years where I felt much more confident about myself as a young woman in my 20s. But so it's like my identity is, I have very positive associations with going grey. If you are darker haired and you have associations with being very attractive as a dark haired person in your 20s, it's going to be a massive, it's a question of identity. And it's really, and that's really hard, you know, because we're a very visual culture, and we judge, particularly women are judged so much on their appearance.
I think it's a visibility thing as well. I think it's that, you know, raging as against the fading of the follicle almost, that women do not want to fade into the background, and if you are grey-haired at a certain age, that's perceived to be what will happen. I mean, there's a wonderful picture of Paula Meehan in the Irish Times magazine today, who has the most wonderful silver hair, and she just looks so incredibly noble in the photograph. You know, it's that amazing look of.
But you're almost pointing out one person who can, if you'll pardon the whatever, carry it off.
Well, I think anybody can carry it off. I think it's a kind of a state of mind as well. I think it's just a sense of, this is who I am. I'm accepting who I am.
And it would surely be much better if more people did it, though.
Well, I mean, who am I to say that? I'm sitting here with peroxide in my hair. So, you know, I've gone from one end to the other. But yes, I think it would be great if there were more role models. I think it would be great if some of our senior women politicians, like Christine Lagarde, looked, you know, amazing. And I think Stephen's absolutely right. The cut is really crucial.
It's
you have to work it.
But there is the other side of it as well, and you've got to be very careful. Where do these women go for the 2 years while it's growing out? Because it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen magically. Do you know what I mean?
Catherine, did you feel that you were becoming some kind of a stereotype? Is that it? And you wanted to
I was kind of bored with doing what was expected of me, and it was expected of me that I would dye my hair, and I was turning 40 when I decided to go grey, so part of it was that, I suppose, little midlife thing of...
But did pregnancies make you stop or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, certainly, and that allowed me to see...
I think 40 does an awful lot of bad things to everybody, not just women, though.
I think that let me see what it gave me a glimpse of what it was going to look like, and like me, not quite as young as 11, but, you know, from my very early teens I was going grey. You know, my dad had a shock of white hair through his head, you know, as a teenager as well, as I've got his genes, I have that family. I've got my wonderful godmother has never dyed her hair and looks fantastic, is one of the most youthful women of her age that I know, you know. So there is that kind of you know, you do other things than think about your hair. And a lot of me thinks, you know, it's what's inside our heads.
Well, it is a trap, isn't it? I mean, you start doing it at whatever age, like 20, 25, whatever, and you can't stop.
Yeah, it's a tax on being a female.
It's a drug.
Yeah, it's a tax. You know, you have a lot of money to spend very regularly, and, you know, you keep doing it because that's what's expected of you.
Well, then, Stephen, to get back to you for a second here, as a hairdresser, you encourage women, of course, to colour their hair. But if a woman, if they did decide to embrace the grey and came to you, how would you be able to help them regarding the look and the condition of their hair and help them make the most of it?
You know, there's amazing products out there that can achieve that. I don't know if anybody's ever kind of gone from dark to grey, but it kind of does involve kind of going through the blonde process first. The successful ones are normally the kind of the highlighted clients, and that fades out gradually. They kind of grow out gradually, and they look really, really well. But when you're growing out, somebody has very, very white hair, and they've got full tint on it. And to grow that out is very, very difficult because it's a really definite line as it's growing out. And the chances are you probably have to bleach it up nearly white to get rid of it. So there is a growing out stage that is not great.
Okay, there are three. Yeah, Catherine, go on.
Yeah, no, one of the women I spoke to for the piece at the time said, yes, you know, she didn't want to get the man cut. And that's the feeling that, you know, if you're going to grow it out, you have to get it cut really short.
Exactly.
She just couldn't bear that idea. So I think she wore hats for about 2 years.
Well, I was just thinking, like, of a few of the people who are in the public eye. And, like, just someone that I think of is Angela Rippon is one who I always associate with that.
Well, look at
Anna Ford changed hugely. She changed, like, absolutely dramatically because she was so good looking. And I thought, not so sure, but this one necessarily, but the one for me that I wouldn't have liked at all from looking at the Oscars last year, and I just didn't like it, I didn't like her hair at all, was Diane Keaton. I think she looked haggard, and I think her hair really helped her look like that. And you can say, Dave, she's old, come on, but seriously, I thought, no, if she was definitely a different colour in the hair, I might have sort of seen something different.
Well, you look at the L'Oreal's pin-up girl for this year is Helen Mirren. She looks amazing. And she's kind of gone for the more kind of, like, she's putting kind of creamy kind of blonde kind of toners to her grey hair, but she looks fantastic.
And I think it's a woman's right to look haggard as well.
Yeah. I know, hold on, that's not fair. That's attacking her. Hold on,
but I mean,
see, this is the whole thing. This is getting into
it. You know, look at some of the most powerful men in the world. They, you know, they're not beautiful, they're not attractive, they're actually quite unattractive. You know, I'm thinking of a certain.
Are you saying you're not attracted to Dominic Strauss Kahn?
Actually, yes, we think great minds think alike.
Exactly. Wait, is that who you were thinking of?
Exactly what I was thinking of. You know, the man whose eyebrows don't quite make it to the, you know, point where most people's eyebrows. But at the same time, women are falling at his feet. You know, this is the imbalance. This is the patriarchy. This is how society works. Women are not allowed to have bad hair days or bad face days.
It's like Jennifer Aniston. I mean, fantastic performance in Cake. Fantastic, because she looked haggard. She looked wrecked. She looked exhausted. She looked brilliant because she was playing a woman in pain. And at one stage, she says to the woman who's playing her physiotherapist, "Yeah, you just think I'm a grumpy old bitch. Worse word than that." But it was like it was great to have Jennifer Aniston own both grumpy and old and bitch. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I think what's interesting are those qualities that Catherine identified, which are nobility, authority, gravitas, wisdom. You know, grey hair is traditionally a sign of those. And it's like, why can't women be wise? Why can't we be authoritative? You know, like, what's so wrong with being...
We have to be nice and
you
pretty.
Know, exactly, and likeable and appealing. And that is kind of infantilizing women and always putting them into a place where they are dependent on other people's approval to do absolutely everything. You know, and it's like, if you're not well, if you've low energy, you're not going to look great. And it doesn't matter what kind of makeup you slap on or what kind of hair color you have or what your weight is. If you don't have energy, that's going to come across. So I think it's an internal thing.
Well then, Stephen, would you have people coming to you, say, once every 6 or 7 weeks or whatever, and now they're getting older?
Some of them may be 3 or 4 weeks.
That's what I was just going to say. Now that they're getting older, it's now 3 or 4 weeks, and it'll be down to once a week pretty soon.
No, that's never going to happen, I don't think. Nobody's hair grows that fast.
Okay, but like, what about the colour that people might... Like, I mean, do people want... Like, what percentage of the population, I believe it's not a huge percentage, would be blonde naturally anyway? Would a lot of people look for the blonde colour, or what colour are they looking for most?
Do you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are getting blonde hair, and it starts kind of from kind of mid-late 20s and kind of goes on from there. But it's you're buying into a trend. Blondes do have more fun, apparently, I don't know. We've been selling highlights to clients for years. But 9 out of 10 times, it's more to enhance a haircut or to make it a little bit more interesting looking.
And is lighter colour hair the sign of youth?
Well, there is a debate, isn't there? Because you just said that white hair is definitely...
I was hoping you'd fall into my trap and I'd say, well, then the two people here are doing very well.
Yeah, I know. None of them, no, not at all. Do you know what? When we design our consultations, we sit them down, sit clients down, and we look at them as an individual, look at their skin tone, look at their lifestyle, look at everything, and take all of that into consideration before we proceed with colouring hair.
When you say skin tone, doesn't your skin tone colour change as you grow older as well?
Yeah, they say that, but I don't think it does, actually. You're right, it does, but I don't think it changes.
The products for that, too.
To warrant, like, I think women, as they get a little bit older, it is nice to lighten their hair a little bit, because sometimes the darker colours can wash them out and make them look a little bit more kind of, just kind of paler looking. It's nice to warm up the hair a little bit and kind of make it a little bit lighter, because it really works with the skin tone and it just makes you look really fresh.
Would you two persons here, you grey ones, would you, like, by the way, grey, silver, how many words are there for all this and what is the necessary difference, blonde even, but would you encourage women to go grey if they're heading that way and not fight it? It works for you.
I'd draw back from telling anybody to, with, you know, I think people are big enough to make their own decisions. But if somebody said to me, I'd like to see, I would definitely say yes, do, because it's interesting. It's empowering. It's
I picked up on that. That was one of the comments that came into me this morning, actually, interesting, but it is quite empowering.
Yeah, there's a phrase letting yourself go. But if you flip that on the other side, you know, it's seen as a terrible thing for a woman to let herself go. But actually, it sounds like a bit of fun to let yourself go. It's quite freeing. You save a lot of money. And
I disagree with that. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe if you're getting that sharp haircut every 4 weeks, yeah, you could probably put it into the sharp haircut rather than the colour. But actually, you do save a lot of money. You're not paying that tax on being female by having to get the roots done.
There's a few here at 51552, by the way, and they're all like massively supportive. Really, I went grey 4 years ago. Got my hair cut really short, so I went grey overnight. Best thing I've ever done. And what I was going to mention earlier on, yeah, and I do agree with this actually. Emmy Lou Harris has amazing hair. Yeah. I'd go grey if I could look like her. Another one says 37 years old, full head of silver hair, just got fed up dying it and been told it really suits me.
Yeah, it's great. And the more of that happens, the better. I have a wonderful friend who has been through chemo and her hair grew back and it just looks brilliant. She's got a fantastic silver crop and she looks so cool. She does say that she had once been offered a seat on the Lewis, which she was a bit upset about, but you know, at the same time, I think she looks absolutely brilliant. And it's just a statement of having gone through what she's been through, you know, that life's too short to worry about.
By the way, there are those who say, Stephen, that like putting all that stuff in your hair could actually be bad for your health. I knew I'd be tripped up, he says.
I'm just putting a message out there and I've had it confirmed by L'Oreal, one of the biggest hair companies in the
surprise,
world.
Surprise. How about an independent body?
They've got no interest in this at all, of course.
But the toxins present in a tube of colour would be no stronger than a cup of coffee. No, it's not bad for your health to cover your hair, to colour your hair. Definitely not, 100%. And L'Oreal stand by that. They've done medical research into women's health issues and women, pregnant women having colour done. They've done the research into it. It's 100% safe to colour your hair at any time.
All right, well, I'll take it from you, the expert. By the way, the Kate Middleton stuff that is in the papers and just a few grey hairs and all the rest splashed across the front pages, what's that going to do?
This is where the whole controversy came from.
I know, but hold on. Let's just say there might be a movement looking at three people in this room and like you guys are just doing it all. So is it any surprise that women don't embrace the grey once they see that kind of stuff of Kate Middleton, that like they might be cowed into saying, oh,
you know, I think there should be a rebellion against it. People should say, actually, I'm going to go grey, you know, because who wants to be judged by British tabloid newspaper?
I was just about to pick up on that. I feel really, really so sorry for that girl. She's having a really rough pregnancy and the tabloids are jumping on her every 5 minutes. Leave her alone, my God.
But look, hold on, one last one then. Is it about aging? I mean, if aging is viewed as some sort of weakness and women are trying to hide the fact that they're aging, maybe, why doesn't it impact on men in the same way?
Because we look hot.
All right, shut up, Stephen. Go on.
Yeah,
yes.
but it's like, again, like there's different values. Like men are valued according to their power and their ability to earn income. Like there's a whole different set of signifiers that kind of are associated with men's hotness. Like you don't see pictures of men in their underwear on the cover, famous, achieving, successful men in their underwear on the cover of Time magazine. But you see plenty of musicians like Beyonce, you see actors, female actors, you know, in their underwear regularly. So there's a whole lot of, like, hotness is not something that's just biological. There's a whole load of things going along with it. I mean, I think in terms of advising people, I think it's like everybody has their own choices to make and how they construct their image is part of those choices. You know, it's like if you're trying to cover up something because there's something missing inside, or there's some, like, we're all in pain a lot of the time. We're all uncomfortable. Everybody's insecure at every stage of their life, and I just don't think I would go back to, you know, whatever you do, that if you can be as authentic as possible, if that means dyeing your hair, great. If it means not dyeing your hair, great. Mm. But I mean, I'd like to see the debate, in a sense, move away. Like the questions that we're starting to talk about is like, why?
Why
are women judged? They're interesting questions.
And I think culturally, it's not just mortality, it's also that cultural thing of fertility, that a younger woman who can have babies, you know, that is woman's power.
We might get a few answers to some of those questions tomorrow. I'll be talking to Eimear O'Toole, who, she's the one who made the headlines, we stopped shaving her body hair, and she's written an awful lot more in the current book as well. So listen, just finally, folks, thank you very much. Stephen Kelly, thank you very much from Ziba Hairdressing and South William Street.
I hope
we're not putting you out of a gig. Thanks so much for talking to us. Very good.
Listen, it's a pleasure talking to you. Have a great Saturday.
Right,
okay?
Thank you very much. Goodbye to yourself. And also, Mia Gallagher, thank you very much as well. Finally, Catherine, you said earlier on, Catherine Cleary wrote an article in the Irish Times. Are you just amazed that of all the things you've written, this bleeding thing is the one that's got the most reaction?
Amazed and a bit depressed, I think. We need to stop thinking about our hair. We think about it way too much.
All right. Thank you very much, folks, for coming in. Fair play to you. Thanks.